Listen to just a few short words from Matthew 28. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. They went to see the tomb. On Passover night, the apostles were on top of the world. They had arrived in Jerusalem, and that evening they had celebrated the Passover feast together. But now they were scattered. The previous Sunday, they had marched through the streets of Jerusalem, shouting and proclaiming Jesus as King and Savior. Triumphantly, they entered that city, but now they hid in fear and defeat. The week had started out so promising for the 12, but by Friday, one of them was dead by his own hand. One had denied 3 times he had ever even known Jesus, and most had been scattered rather than them to be associated with the one they had called master and friend. In the hour of his passion, when Jesus needed them the most, he needed them the most, but they gave him their least. Passover morning, again, they were on top of the world, but on Sunday morning, they were defeated and discouraged. They felt that they had not only lost their friend, but, if you can imagine, they had lost their dignity. Not only that, but they had lost the 3 years of their lives they had invested in following Jesus. I don't know what they talked about through the day on Saturday or what plans they were making that Sunday morning. We can imagine were they wondering, though, when the Romans would arrive to take them away, when perhaps they were planning on leaving Jerusalem and heading back to Galilee or Nazareth or Bethlehem or wherever they were from. They were headed back home, perhaps. That's what their thoughts were, maybe, to resume the lives they had left behind when they followed Yeshua. Were they wondering what they were going to tell all of their friends and family? After all, they had been so confident that Jesus was the one, that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the one that was going to overthrow Rome and fulfill all the promises of Scripture that had been prophesied about a son of David reigning on the throne forever. But he was now dead. You know, for thousands of years, mankind needed salvation. For thousands of years, mankind waited for a Savior to come. Finally, the one who was supposed to save everyone, especially Israel, the people of God, had appeared. He worked miracle after miracle. He cast out demon after demon. He stood for the weak and for the oppressed, loved those who no one else did. He touched the leper and healed them. He opened the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf. He made the lame leap with joy, and he fed thousands with just a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread. But now he was dead. But all that changed when the women arrived at the tomb. The Bible says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come and see the place where he lay.'" Amen. You know, "but" is a powerful word. That Sunday morning started with a stone-cold tomb, but ended with a command to go into all the world. The day started with mourning, but it ended as a day with tears of joy and celebration. It started as a day when the forces of evil cried victory, but it turned into a day when God triumphed over evil and the grave. The day started out with hope, but it turned into a day when the hope of nations showed his reign over despair. It started as a day when people paused to remember what man did to God, but it turned into a day when people stop and remember what God did for man. Amen. That Sunday morning so long ago began with Yeshua dead in the ground, but it ended with him alive and risen, victorious over death. Somebody give God the glory in this place. Amen.
Amen.
You may have figured out, but is the title of my message this morning. Again, but is such a powerful word. Just three simple letters. However, it is the hinge that turns the entire meaning of a statement. It turns everything around in just a moment. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." But. The Bible uses the word but over 4,500 times. So we shouldn't have a bit of a lack of material with a sermon entitled But. This morning I want to look at a statement that occurs in the book of Acts. Now Paul is preaching to a crowd in Antioch, and he is telling them the Jesus story. And part of his sermon is the resurrection weekend summed up in just a few short words. And in those words there are two buts, which is perfect. There was a but for Friday, and there is a but for today. And that one little word is literally a world changer. It is, was the hinge that history turned on. We find the story in Acts 13. The people in Jerusalem and their leaders did not recognize Jesus as the one the prophets had spoke of. Instead, again, they condemned him, and in doing so, they fulfilled the prophets' words that are read every Sabbath. They found no legal reason to kill him, to execute him, but they asked Pilate to kill him anyways. Paul says, "Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him nor understand the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilling them by condemning him. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they still asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb." And that was Friday. But this is Sunday. And Paul says, but God raised him from the dead. And for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, that he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus. But God raised him from the dead. Again, did you catch the buts? They found no guilt in him, but they still asked Pilate to kill him. They took him down from the cross. They put him in a tomb. He was dead. He was gone. Death had seemingly won. The forces of hell had seemingly triumphed over heaven. Hope was extinguished, but God raised him from the dead. And with that but, everything changed. Because of the but, for those that love Jesus, their present, their reality, everything changed in a moment with that but. Now, I would never presume to put myself inside the mind of Jesus, but if my friends had denied me and deserted me when I needed them most, I think I might have gone looking for some new friends. I don't know about you. I think if I'd have been Jesus, I might have gone back to the Father and said, "It's not working out with those guys." Listen to Mark's account of the resurrection, Mark 16. "When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, 'Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, and make sure you tell Peter. Tell his disciples, but make sure you tell Peter that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there.' just as he told you before he died. Again, I emphasized it, but did you catch that? The women were told to go and tell the disciples, specifically Peter, that Jesus was raised, he had been raised from the dead. The disciples that fled when Jesus needed them the most. Peter, who denied he even knew Jesus 3 times in one night. Tell the disciples, and especially Peter, that Jesus' body is not in the grave. Tell them that he lives. Tell them you will see him in Galilee. He's going to meet you there. And you know, with that statement, they knew that they'd been forgiven. That all of Jesus' talk of grace and forgiveness wasn't just words. That when Jesus looked down from the cross and he said, "Father, forgive them," he meant them too. Amen. Even Peter. Because regardless of how Sunday morning started, his resurrection changed everything. Amen. Remember the C.S. Lewis quote from earlier, "You can't go back and change the beginning. But you can start where you are and change the ending." And that is exactly what God does for us. Amen.
Amen.
But God. God changes the ending in the most beautiful ways. You know, the women expected to find a body, but they found an empty tomb instead. Peter, he expected rejection, but what he found was acceptance. The apostles didn't get a do-over for what happened on Friday night. But through the grace Jesus offered them, they found the opportunity to start again. And he offers you and you and you and you and all of you up there the same. You can start again with him. The devil expected victory, but he was defeated. But it wasn't just their present that was changed, because when God raised Yeshua Jesus from the dead, the entire future of mankind was changed. Amen.
Amen.
Without the resurrection, think about it for a moment. Without the resurrection, the life and ministry of Jesus would have had a very minimal impact on the world. What would his death have been without his resurrection? His words would mostly have been forgotten. His teachings would have been lost to the history of time and the tragedy of his death. His miracles, though spectacular in the day, would have meant little because he was gone. Without the resurrection, he would simply have been some miracle-working teacher, some rabbi who got martyred like so many others. But that all changed when the women found the tomb empty and the disciples saw him alive. 40 days after he rose from the dead, Jesus told his followers what the church would accomplish and how they would accomplish it. Jesus spoke to the apostles before he returned to the Father. And again, this is 40 days after the resurrection. We pick up the story in Acts chapter 1. And he says, but you're going to go do all this stuff. You're going to change the world. I'm going away. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus was going away, but the Holy Spirit empowered the believers and they became the witnesses about Jesus and his story to the very ends of the earth. And the world was radically changed as the church began to spread. I preached about it the last few months. I'm not going to go all over it again. But really, the teaching of Jesus revolutionized how people viewed the poor, how women and children were treated, how the sick were cared for. The gospel was the reason men tried to end things like slavery. Whole nations and peoples groups have been transformed because Jesus rose from the dead.
That's right.
If Jesus had not been raised from the dead, as bad as the world might be today, it would be totally unrecognizable. It would be much, much, much worse. Not because Jesus died on a cross on Friday night, but because on Sunday morning, God raised him from the dead. If there had been no resurrection, then the 11 apostles who were left would have left Jerusalem discouraged and defeated. The Holy Spirit wouldn't have come, the church wouldn't have been founded, and the world would be a much, much darker place today. But it wasn't just the present and the future that was changed by the resurrection. Because of that, but our forever is changed if you believe in Jesus and have received him as Savior. Jesus didn't just come to heal people and teach good things and feed people and make people feel good. He came for a very specific purpose. John writes, and what is probably the most famous verse in all the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would" what? "Not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, it took more than 3 years of preaching and healing to give us eternal life. It took more than Jesus simply dying on the cross to give us eternal life. While both of those things would have made Jesus a good teacher and a good man, that wasn't enough to give us eternal life. It all comes down to the resurrection. Ultimately, that is what we need to believe, because that is the foundation of our faith. Listen to the words of Paul that he wrote to the church 2,000 years ago in 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 12. "Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But God did" what? "Raised him from the dead." It was because Jesus was able to defeat death that he gives us the victory. The promise of eternal life was a promise that Jesus made to his followers over and over and over again throughout the Gospels. He didn't just offer his followers good teaching, little bits of truth. Instead, in John 14, 6, Jesus told them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You see, he made a way. He was the way when he was resurrected from the dead. If at the end of the story, Jesus had remained in the tomb, all of his promises would have been empty. But the promises weren't empty because the tomb was empty. It's been said by a physicist, I read this the other day, "We physicists know that a beautiful postulate is more likely to be correct than an ugly one. Why not adopt this postulate of eternal life at least as a working hypothesis?" If you've chosen Jesus, then you have adopted this postulate of eternal life, but it is something more than simply a working hypothesis. It is the beautiful reality of what is to come. And of that we can be assured, because God raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus reminds us in John 3:36, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." On this resurrection morning, we not only celebrate that Jesus conquered the grave, but that in doing so, his promises are true, and that we too will conquer the grave as well. Amen. John, one of Jesus' closest friends, would go on to write, "I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. Not that you will hope you have eternal life, but that you may know you have eternal life." Amen. Knowing we have eternal life, what is that like? It means no fear of death, because death has been defeated. I used this at our sunrise service this morning, but I thought it was worth repeating here at the very last moment. There was a little girl whose path from school led through a graveyard. Her path home from school led through a graveyard, and she was asked if she was afraid. Her reply was, "No, I just cross it to reach home."
Wow.
I heard that and I thought, what a beautiful picture that is of our lives. Because of Jesus, we have a home waiting for us. We don't need to fear the grave or the graveyard. It's just something we pass through to reach our home.
Amen.
Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you."
Amen.
You know, we have a home waiting for us in glory. There's no fear in crossing the graveyard to get home. That is what it is like to know that you have eternal life. And that's because of the resurrection. Jesus did it first, and he showed that he could keep his promise to give us eternal life. Now, this may seem a bit funny to you, but there sure are a lot of buts here in church today. I was tempted to say we got some big buts here in church today.
Be careful.
But then someone would go home and say, "Pastor told me on Resurrection Sunday I had a big butt." I'm talking about the kind with one T, all right? Having been in this church for 40 years of my life, we've seen some big butts in this place. I think Alea thought that was funny. My father has shared of how at 13, Jesus stepped into his life. And because God stepped in and saved him, our family has grown up knowing Jesus.
Amen.
And if not for but God stepping in, who knows where we would be. I love to hear George and Sandy's testimony. It always brings a tear to my eye every time I hear it. George and Sandy have shared their testimony of how God stepped in at the exact second that George so desperately needed it. And if it hadn't have been but God,
amen,
George would not be walking this earth today. So many others are able to say the same thing, but God. If not for God stepping in, I would still be a drunk. I'd still be an addict. I'd still be lost in my terrible sins. I would not have the family I have, but God. I would not have been released from the depression if not for but God. I would have killed myself, but God. I would have been destroyed by the things in my past, but God.
Amen. Amen.
And maybe you still need God to step in. He can do it for you just as he has done it for others. Why? Because he rose from the dead. If you can rise from the dead, I'm pretty sure you can do just about anything. God can do it for you because he still saves. He still rescues the lost. He is still the one who openly puts the powers of hell to shame. But God, I tell you this, I would be lost in my sins, but God.
Amen.
Yeshua, Jesus, made the way when he shed his own blood, went into the grave, and then rose victorious. So that my sin, that your sin could be washed away, and that we could receive eternal life through him. He did the same for you. So if you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, do it today. Repent of your sins. Be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
But God raised him from the dead.